We are in a message series called Kingdom Tension, and it's a I think it's a really fun series because it's nice to speak about tension. You know, sometimes tension is something that you want to avoid. You know, you feel tensed about something, or there's a certain tension between you and a colleague or with your neighbor, then you don't want to bring up, you know, the tension. You want to talk about, as we say in Dutch, koetjes en kalfjes. You want to talk about things that are not important, about how Ajax is going to do against PSV this afternoon, for example, or I don't know, the stuff that doesn't really matter. You want to talk about, you want to talk around the tension mostly. But what we're doing in this sermon series is stuff that we notice are tensed, carry a bit of weight, or make us feel uncomfortable. We're addressing them head on, and that's why I think it's fun. And so in the first Sunday of this series, we discussed the already and the not yet of the kingdom. In some way, the kingdom of God is already here. Wonders happen, miracles, signs, experiences with God, they happen. They happen. We have thousands, millions of reports of God at work on this planet. But yet, the kingdom of God is not fully here. The earth is not completely restored. This is not what it's like to live under the complete and fulfilled rule and reign of God. So how do we deal with that? And then the second Sunday, we talked about how the cross is a sign of both strength and weakness. And last week, we talked about how we are fully accepted in the family of God as children of God, not because of who we are, but because of who he is and what he has done for us. But how at the same time there's this call to, you know, do better, to live more holy, to you know, I would just say become better people. It's not really Bible language, but you know, to improve. So this tension of, you know, there's this call to follow Jesus, follow after him, and to grow, to be more Christ-like. At the same time, we're fully accepted just for who we are. And there's a bit of a tension there. We addressed that last week. And today we're going to talk about a new tension, and that's how we are unique yet united. And sometimes it creates a little bit of a tension. So God created us all uniquely with our own strengths and weaknesses. Some of us he created with a special manual. You know, if you may know that person. If you don't know anyone like that, you might be that person. But God also created us all to live in intimate community with others, to live connected to others. He didn't create us to live life alone. Even though, you know, we are living in a society where more and more we're living kind of by ourselves, like in our own little bubble world where we can control everything. But we're really created to live in community with others, to have this interconnectedness, to share our hearts, to share our lives with others, to serve others, but also to be served by others. And sometimes there's a bit of a collision with that uniqueness, because to be united, we sometimes feel like we have to give up something of that uniqueness because we're so different from other people. So how can we be united with people that are so unlike us? Because everyone is unlike you, because you're unique. So how can we be united with people that are so different? When not everyone thinks the same, feels the same, goes through the same stuff, has the same answers to the questions that you have. How can we really be a church community together? That's the underlying thought for today, is how can we experience this unitedness, this unity, even in a church like ours that is so international. I mean, we've got people here from literally all over the world, from many different faith traditions as well. How can we be united? There's a fun Dutch term for unity in a way of similarity. I'm going to teach you a beautiful Dutch word today, and it's called eenheidsworst, which I'll translate. It's basically sausage unity, or like a unity like a sausage. Okay, just a little. Sausages are made, like you have all these different kinds of meats, sometimes from different animals, sometimes from different parts of the animal, and they all go through a mince grinder, and then they're squashed together, and then I think they take the bladder of a pig or something like that. I don't know what to do. But then they make it into one sausage, right? That's sausage. It's this sort of squashed meat together. That's so unity like a sausage. In unity like a sausage, in eenheidsworst, sausage unity, you kind of lose yourself into the similarity. You have to give up who you really are to become part of the unity. You go through the mince grinder, nothing is left of your uniqueness, and you become part of that unity of that sausage. Does this help? Yeah? It's just an image, or is this weird for you? It's like this is for those of you who are completely new in the country, this is boerenkool met worst. This is, what is it kale. Yeah, kale mush. It's potato and kale, and then mush together and with the sausage on top. Traditional Dutch meal. It can be delicious. With a lot of applesauce on it, it's really delicious. No, that's when I was younger. All right, so the unity, this is a whole introduction. The unity that the Bible calls us to is nothing like sausage unity, though. It's the unity the Bible calls us to is unity like a body. And that's what we'll be exploring today, how we are together, the body of Christ. And a body is a unity. It's all interconnected and it works together. In some way, I can send a signal from my brain to my hand to do this, and it works together. Like, I don't even have to think about moving around. It just happens. It all functions in one unity. Yet it consists of all these different body parts, legs and arms and a head and a neck, and it's all in some way in this beautiful created body that we all possess, that we receive from God. It all works in some way, but it's a unity of different parts with different functions. And that's the type of unity that we are all called to, where you don't lose your uniqueness, but when you contribute with your uniqueness. Okay, gave away the whole clue of the sermon, but we'll explore that a little bit more. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 13, Paul says to a church in Corinth, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. Some are fast, some are slow, some are high, some are low." That's Dr. Seuss. "Not one of them is like another. Don't ask me why, just ask your mother." Any Dr. Seuss fan? No, sorry. Thought of this as well. "But we all have been baptized into one body." So through this symbol of baptism, by the way, we'll have a baptism service on March 1. If you're interested, we have an info meeting on February 23. And baptism is really, there's so much happening in baptism. But one of the things is that you say, "I want to be part of this worldwide family of God. I want to become part." Not that you aren't before baptism. It's a symbol of like, yeah, I really want to become part of the worldwide church and of this local church. So we're baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living inside of everyone who is a believer. And so there's this that unites us. We're united, also us as a international church. The English language is helping us to communicate, even though we grew up in so many different parts of the world. But we're united because of the name of Jesus Christ and who he means to us. So when church is understood in terms of a body with many parts, the call to unity is never a call to lose your uniqueness. You can be your unique self in a unity like a body. It's an invitation, actually, to fully embrace your unique part. It's an invitation to fully embrace your uniqueness. It helps you to understand that only when you are connected to others, you can really become your unique self. Otherwise, you're your isolated self. This is what I like so much about the church, just the church in general, and ours in particular, is that we're such a unlikely bunch of people, aren't we? I mean, look around. Who would have thought that you would be sitting in a school building in Groningen with people from every country and color and culture from around the world worshiping Jesus together? Isn't this a beautiful thing that we get to experience every Sunday? It's a little bit like heaven, right? Where people from every nation and tribe and tongue are worshiping the Lord together. It's this foretaste of heaven. But isn't it a beautiful thing that such a diverse group of people can together form a community, a unity, come together in unity? A unity that you could even compare to a body. That sense of interconnectedness. Even though we're so different, we view ourselves as being brought together under one head, Jesus Christ, to form this unity. And that's what I love so much. So I'm going to explore, before we dive into the rest of 1 Corinthians 12, because Paul's a lot more to say about that unity as a body, I want to explore three reasons why we should be united in our diversity. First one is unity and diversity is God's design. When you look around, nature is full of diversity. Our God is a creative God. He's this wonderfully creative God. Yesterday we spent a day at the zoo, and we got to see all kinds of different animals and different colors and different shapes and different functions and some weird ones and some scary ones and some cute and cuddly ones. And like this God is a creative God. He's this beautiful creator, and in some way it all works together. And so, I mean, if it weren't for our world being falling into sin, it would actually work quite well. Actually, I think the whole of nature is designed in such a way that it works perfectly together, if it weren't for humans to be messing it up. But hey, that's another story. That's for another day. But there's this uniqueness, and there's this uniqueness to every single person as well. All of that diversity in God's creation is by intention. And it tells us something of what diversity in the church should be like as well. And I think there's too many churches around there where you're expected to become part of the sausage, really, where you have to lose your unique self and then become... I remember this episode in The Simpsons where... There's this episode in The Simpsons where the neighbors of The Simpsons are the Flanders. And he's like the typical... this dork of a Christian type of person, and his kids are playing a computer game together where you shoot a Bible at a person, and he turns into this perfectly walking up straight in the suits, like with it was such a fun, like, this quick image of what people think of Christian culture, like as soon as you're sort of hit with the Bible, then you become this perfectly normal person that's behaving all correctly and completely not unique, because they all turn into the same, you know, perfect, straightforward person. This is not at all, I think, what the church should be like. Church should be diverse and fun and with full of strange people like yourself. This is what church should be like. Not too strange, but hey. And also, if the church is the house of God, then every person should feel welcome in the church, right? Because we're all God's creatures, the way we are, just with our unique self. We are God's creatures, and therefore we're welcome in his house. And so God gathers us all together in his house to form one family together. Isn't it interesting that, even probably when you evaluate your own life, family bonds go so much deeper than friendships. Now, it may not be the same for everyone. You may have a completely different life story, of course, but in some way, like, your family bonds are for life, but friendships happen to kind of come and go. But family is, for most of us, it's something for life. And at least the impact that your family had on you is for life. Well, as a church, we're called to be not a group of friends necessarily, even though we may be. But the Bible refers to church more as a family, as the family of God. And that's the type of connectedness we... are called to have with each other. Bonds that go so deep, it's like family. And of course, in every family, there's a weird uncle and a strange cousin, and it's okay. But the connection is not necessarily through mutual interests, like in friendships, but it's this, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's why there's this unbreakable bond. And even though we can be fighting or disappoint each other, there's this sort of we are both children of God, and that's why there's a responsibility for each other, that's why there's a love for each other, that's why there's a connectedness that's in a sense unbreakable. Secondly, unity and diversity is also a testimony. Humans worldwide of all times have had difficulty with connecting with people that are unlike them. I guess that's the whole reason why children get bullied in high school, in school, primary school, high school. That's why people end up living isolated and lonely. That's why there's this segregation in so many societies, because people don't understand each other, don't want to understand each other, don't want to work together. Ultimately, that's why wars happen and civil wars happen, because this, you can't accept each other's differences, and it leads to conflict. What a great testimony can we send into the world by being a church that's united in its diversity, where diversity is celebrated, but there's also this deep sense of unity. What if we can form such an intimate unity? It will really feel like you're becoming part of a family. In John 13, Jesus says to the disciples, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. It's not our love for the world that will prove that we're his disciples. It's first of all, and that's where so often we're lacking, just simply our love for each other, you know? And if we can't do that, then why would we even want to do outreach and loving on the world and serving and blessing the city? It starts with being a loving community together. Let's be honest. Church is not known necessarily for unity, just to say the least. That's not an amen thing. That's a oh no thing. Let's like, what can we do about this thing? Like, it's like, it's like unity is not a hallmark of church history. It's, I mean, you could say diversity, but not really, because that would mean there's a bit of a unity. It's more, you know, denominational disagreements and church conflict, and it's hurt so many people, maybe including yourself, that you've been hurt through internal church conflict, just nasty church stuff, and it's hurt too many people, and it's hurt the testimony of the church around the world. Jesus calls us to unity, even in our diversity, even if there's light differences. That's why I enjoy my meetings in the city with the ECG as well. It's an evangelical contact in Groningen. It's just a bunch of pastors from different traditions, but we come together and we pray for each other, we share, and we learn from each other. It's a beautiful thing to together, you know, not see each other as oh, that church, or you know, that's the church that's taking all the members from that church, but just to come together like, hey, we want to be the body of Christ in the city of Groningen together. It's just a beautiful thing. Unity and diversity leads to effectiveness. So let's return to 1 Corinthians 12. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. So it's this, like, compared to the unity of a body and what the church is called to be like, it's supposed to be functioning together, and therefore, because we're not just a giant ear, we can do all these kinds of, it's like Paul's using a lot of words to explain something we already understood, right? But I guess what jumps out is that diversity is a strength, it's not a weakness. You know, if you would miss, like, I think even if you only miss your pinky toe, like the smallest toe on your foot, you already walk with a bit of a limp. I guess that's how a church is like as well. Like, even the smallest part makes that whole body function as a unity. And so your contribution to that is also unique and uniquely valuable. Because we're such a diverse group of people, we can also reach out to a diverse group of people. Just think of all, like, if you're the odd one out, just think of all the other odd people that you could reach and then invite into the family that is taking you in, even though you're odd. Including me, like, we're all, in a sense, odd. Paul's point in this whole passage is that when everyone actually plays their unique part, there's, in a sense, no limit to what the body can accomplish. If every part of the body fully functions the way it's supposed to function, is interconnected, there's no limit to what we can accomplish together. Okay, we're going to end with three ways that we can be united in our diversity. I'm going to explore the rest of this passage around the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. Read it first and then kind of take three lessons out of that to close off with. How are we doing on time? Not so well. Okay. Normally today is Communion Sunday, but we postponed it to next week because of there's too much going on in the service. So just so you know, if you're missing it, then next week we'll do communion. Would have been nice today when we talk about being a community to do communion, but we'll find a way to make it fit next week. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are usually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care is given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. The first lesson out of this is we are united when we care for each other. And I'm about to tell you one of the oldest jokes that I know. And I'm sorry for the cheesiness. I would fit right in that one home group. There's a man that comes to the doctor, and he says, Doctor, my whole body hurts. Help me, help me. And the doctor says, where does it hurt? He says, it hurts here, it hurts here, it hurts here, it hurts here. And the doctor says, let me have a look. I think you have a broken finger. Thank you for laughing. You make me feel a lot funnier than I actually am. When something in your body hurts, your body hurts. It's not just that part of your body that hurts. Compared to a headache, if you have a headache, you ache. It's not just your head and the rest of your body is fine. It's just, it affects you. Like if you have a problem in your mouth, like with a tooth, and like your, it affects your whole well-being. I think this is something that Paul's referring to here. So if one part suffers, all the other parts suffer with it. So we want to be a church where we care for each other, where we give help to each other, within the scope, of course, what you can offer, that we offer help and care and love and attention and an open ear to each other. And this is actually one of the reasons why I encourage you to become part of a home group, not just because of all the things that you can learn in there, but also just to be connected to others, to receive and to give care. That there's a group of people in this, you know, bigger group that is looking out for you, that notices when you haven't been to church in like a month. Because I don't always notice. I don't even know all your names or what you do or how you're doing. And so I can't notice when you haven't been in a month. But your home group will, because they see you every week or every other week. And they know you. It's a place to be known and where you can care for each other. So that's why it's so important to become part of that. If you really want to plug into this church and the community, you need to become part of a home group. I think that church or your home group is really the place to be in every season of life. You know, if all is going well, fantastic. You know, share from your overflow with others. You know, if you're in a season of doubt maybe, or truth seeking, home groups can be a place where you can ask those hard questions and maybe learn from others that have gone through the same stuff. When you are in a season of pain, let it be a place of healing. Let it be a place of hope and of comfort and encouragement. When you're in a place of feeling spiritually dry, then let your group or let this church be a fresh stream of water through your life, of living water. Secondly, we are united when we have a shared purpose. So unity in the church doesn't lie in, you know, everyone being the same, but I think it lies in having one purpose, one shared purpose, one shared direction that we're all going to. And that's also why we encourage you to contribute in your unique way. I believe that along with what 1 Peter 2 says, you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. And so in a way, we all have this unique part to play. And we want to encourage you to also play that unique part, which goes further than sitting down and showing up. We see every person that's being added to our church community as uniquely valuable, carrying a unique calling and a unique contribution to the rest of the body. Even if you feel like you're the pinky toe on the foot, we would still be walking with a limp without you. And so I love how Paul uses that whole metaphor of the body to point out that we all have a unique contribution. The one is not more important than the other. The one will be more seen than the other, but that doesn't matter. Everyone has a unique part to play, and it's all uniquely important. And a hand cannot function without being connected to the rest of the body, unless it's in the Adams family. All the generation forget. Okay. So only sounds for young people. Only when we're connected to our church family can we fulfill God's full purpose for us. In the sense, we're all bodybuilders. Now, I want to show you a picture. This is really funny. This is the type of church we do not want to be. It's just one mouth on the platform and the rest is all ears. This is, I found this online. I thought it was super funny. This is not how we want to be the body of Christ together. We want to be a fully functioning, you know, physically strong body. So along with finding a home group today, I'd also like to encourage you to join me at Discover Vineyard. I'll be teaching all three sessions, and it's really not like an information download. It's really an invitation for a conversation. I want to get to know you. I'll share a little bit about what's going on in our church and how you can be part of that and what our vision and values are and all of that. And it's there in the teacher's room is through that hallway, and then it's the big red doors that kind of swing open, and we have lunch available. So I'd like to encourage you and invite you to join that. If you're like, if you've been joining in the last couple of months, you know, since the summer, it's a good time to really plug into what's happening here, to really make this your church family. It's just a little bit of advertisement thing. We get used to that, right? Advertisements. Also, when you stream something online, in some way they find a way to put advertisements in. So same here. Lastly, I'm almost done. We are united when we follow the same direction. So as a church, it's our vision that, you know, wherever you're from, whatever your life looks like right now, you'll feel welcome in the house of the Lord. That's the type of church we want to be. Like, even if you consider yourself to be a non-Christian, we're so happy to have you here. Like, even if you ridicule the way we play music and the way we teach and the way we do this and that, I don't care. We're so happy to have you here. You know, we'll do what we do, but you're so welcome here. Even if you're super critical, like, we love having you here, honestly. As a church, the direction that we are going in, like, the general direction that we're going in, is to grow close to Jesus. And to follow him more intimately and more radically. That's the direction that we want to go in. There's this shared desire to become more like Jesus every day. But the whole unity is found in having that same direction. It's not found in the pace. It's not found in the place in that journey where you are. Like how far you are in the journey. Or in what detour you've taken. But it's in having that same direction. We're all going in the same direction. You're welcome to come along with that. We want to help you to, you know, do that journey well. This is where we're going. We're not going to go. We're going to go here. But I don't care if you're here or there or here. I don't care if you're going, you know, 2 kilometers an hour or 30 kilometers an hour. Like, or on the ring when people go 60, you're like, like, maybe you feel like other people are just going so much faster than you. Like, oh man, maybe this is not for us. But the pace doesn't really matter, and the place where you are doesn't really matter. Unity is not found in the speed or in the progress. It's really found in having the same direction, and we can help each other with that. My invitation to you today is to draw closer into community, whether it be through a home group, whether it be through starting to serve, or just like in the way that you come to a Sunday. I think I said last time, like maybe after church, when we're about to get coffee and the beautiful olibola, and maybe let your first conversation be with someone that you don't know yet. And then afterwards, you can go to all your friends and hang out and have fun and all of that. But let your first conversation be with someone that you see here, and just introduce yourself and hear a bit about the other, and let your first conversation be with someone else. I believe that you'll become more fully alive as a Christian when you're connected to others. Through worshiping together, through being part of a home group, through playing your unique part, you get to a place of more fulfillment as a Christian when you're connected to others. And that's what I want to invite you into.